Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steakhouse coming up top of the hour. Of course, it's a Falcons Friday. Massive weekend of college football, of course. Texas, Georgia, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Alabama.
The third Saturday.
Third Saturday in October. And we have to do our mandatory picks that you don't even care about. So.
Yeah. And I do, real quick, Rob, before we get to our picks, I want to invite people. Me and Bo talked about this last week. A lot of people, obviously, second-guessing our picks. We have shown ourselves to not be very good at making our locks of the week pick, you know, the mandatory and everything else. So if you want to be a part of this, to be read on air on Man Up Monday, get your picks into the 929 Morning Shift account on the Twitter. I'll retweet it. Bo's going to retweet it. You got to do your two locks of the week, and then you can pick any two other games. That's four games you'll be picking, and if you can hit it running, we'll talk about you on Monday.
Yeah, we don't want to be the only idiots with egg on our face. Right. We want to see you with egg on your face, too.
Right.
Come join us.
Join the party.
Come
it's
join
not
us
easy.
Look stupid.
Quinn, you're 12 and 15, Mike. You're 14 and 13.
I'm hanging on
one
by
game
thread.
Over 500.
I don't think his is accurate. I think there's a typo.
Is that what it is?
And I'm 6 and 8, so under the old NFL 16-game schedule,
there's
if I can win
chance.
Two more games, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I can scratch and claw my way to a wild card, right?
There you go. I like the way you're thinking.
All right, let's start off with the NFL. The mandatory picks, as mandated by one Dylon. This is a good one, though. This is going to be entertaining, of course. Rematch of the Super Bowl. Chiefs going out to San Francisco. Take on the 49ers. San Francisco, 2-point favorite home, which basically means kind of a push, right?
Yeah. Andy Reid, 21-4 in his career, coming off a bye week.
Oof.
I like the Niners in this game. But I am going to go with history. Give me the Chiefs plus two.
Mm.
Chiefs plus two.
Yeah, I'm going to zig when you zag, man. The Chiefs are undefeated, and the Niners are favored, even with all the injuries the Niners have. These are two – I want people to enjoy this game when they watch it. These are two of the most innovative offensive minds in the history of the NFL that you'll be watching this game. Watch how these offenses operate, but I'm going to go with San Francisco minus the 2 points.
Are you shocked that the over-under is only 46.5?
I don't know, because San Francisco's defense trending upward, gave up only 52 yards Seattle last week. I've got San Francisco winning this game outright.
I just think when you look at Rasheed Rice not a part of this game, Travis Kelce's had his ups and downs, and on the other side, Christian McCaffrey, you know, everything. Like, I just think that kind of just lends itself to you still like both these coaches and quarterbacks,
right.
But what's around them is a little bit lesser than you kind of originally imagined it would be in this matchup.
And the Chiefs haven't exactly been overwhelming at 5-0. You know how they kind of tend to sputter through the month of October, then kind of wake up. San Francisco gets the win on Sunday. All right, gentlemen, let's go to Austin, Texas, shall we?
Woo!
Who's your pick for the F1 race? I'm sorry, not the F1 race. There's that college football game on Saturday night as well. Georgia at Texas.
Oh, man. This one's
Texas
been,
minus five, five-point favorite.
This one's been very, very tough for me throughout the week. I've gone back and forth. Here's what I'll say, and I used to, and before Georgia fans get mad at me, this is what I used to feel about Nick Saban as well. Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are so good at making sure their guys on defense play to rules. They have rules for everything. This man, second man out, flat defender, release, blah, blah. Guys like Steve Sarkisian know that, and more times than not, they are able to take advantage of those rules because they know those rules. Right? And so I think that Georgia is still a very good team. I'm not ruling them out of anything in the long run. But I think that this atmosphere might be a little too much for Georgia. I actually like Texas minus the points.
That's not an overwhelming home field advantage for Texas. That's kind of a wine and cheese crowd. They're too laid back.
But I think because of this game, because of the hype around it and its possibility to be the game of the year, I think that the first big SEC home game, like I think that crowd is going to be on another level.
I'm not ready. I'll order last.
No, what?
Georgia, hyper-penalized team, almost like Alabama for the most part. They're not getting any takeaways.
Yeah.
They have not played a complete game yet. I got Texas covering, winning this thing 38-31, unfortunately.
All right.
And I'm a Georgia fan.
So. I have a feeling like this is going to be a however or a not so fast.
No, I have no feel for this game because I think Texas is going to win this game. I think Texas is the better football team. Georgia is a team that is kind of switching identities, And what I mean by that is there used to be what we always thought was a run-first team. They're a throw-first team this year. A lot of that has to do with some of the injuries. They're defensively, they are nowhere near the dominant team they've been. I think Texas is going to win this game. I just don't know which Georgia shows up, the first half against Alabama, the second half against Alabama. I would tend to lean towards y'all. I'm just terrified this game is going to be really close. I think Georgia loses this game, but I think they might cover the 5.
Interesting.
But I'm picking Texas.
Could be like an Ohio State-Oregon type one-point thing.
So picking Texas just like we are, but you just wanted to throw that caveat in there just for Man Up Monday. So
you know
we play
what?
The sound back that you don't sound bad. Okay.
Forget it. You've talked me into it. I'm going to take Georgia to cover and lose.
Oh, you really don't have a feel for this game then.
I don't.
Just zigged when everybody else zagged. Okay.
All right, I'm going to go another sexy, sexy matchup on Sunday. Lions going to Minnesota. Minnesota.
Ooh, I like what you're
1.5-point favorite. Yep. Lions without Aiden Hutchinson. I know that's not that's kind of catastrophic in a way you could say. It's kind of hard to deal with that.
Number one graded. We're talking about Arnold McKay. Number one graded edge guy in the NFL is Aiden Hutchinson.
I think the Vikings are about to really race to one of the top teams. Clearly, I got the Vikings winning this game like 28-17. Man,
wow.
Vikings are for real.
Wow. All right, I'll go with my NFL kind of wild card game of the week. Eye opener. Can you imagine a scenario where the Jags are favored by 6? The Jags are favored by 6.
Over who? Wheeler High School?
That's my point. It's against the New England Patriots. The Jags are favored by 6. You go, man, how could a team with one win be favored by 6 points? Vegas knows how bad New England is.
Well,
they know how bad New England is.
Also, I think Jacksonville's been in London now for like 2 weeks.
Right, right.
So
that's probably the only thing saving old buddy's job.
How long before they just end up moving over there? That's the ultimate goal.
They just built that new facility down there, that new price facility, like $1 billion. They're not moving. They just.
Their stadium's getting renovated too.
Yeah.
For like the ninth time.
I'm going with the Jags -6. -6.
What do you think about Houston? What's the first thing you think about Houston, the team?
Explosive offense.
Okay. All right. That's it. What's the first thing you think about Green Bay?
Highly paid quarterback that was injured earlier this year.
But y'all, they can score points, right?
Sure, sure.
The over-under is 47.5 at Green Bay.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll take the over in that game.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that number
freaking
tells you.
Day. Take the over. Houston at Green Bay, 47.5.
Mm.
And you'll be able to take the wifey out to a steak dinner.
Mm.
Tell her it's on squid because you won money from me.
Mm. All right, what you got for your... other college game.
Bo, you go first with college. I've been going first the whole time. It's time for you to step up.
I don't understand why no one is talking about Georgia Tech, Notre Dame.
That was my game I'm going to do. That's all right. Well, I can do it too.
Yeah,
hold on.
I think you should.
Hold on. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. It is a prime time 3:30 game. Notre Dame is almost a 10-point favorite. We don't know what Haynes King is going to do. Some say he won't play. Chick-fil-A Garrett says he won't. And he would know. He's an insider over there.
He's a freshman at Tech. Looks like that way.
For all of these reasons, I'm not touching that game at all.
I was going to say, please don't pick that game.
Army is 6-0. They're a 16-point favorite. They have scored 42 points in 35 or more in 5 of their first 6 games. The over, 51.5 against East Carolina. Give me Army and the over of 51.5. The dollar score keeps it going. What Dennis Dodd tell us? The most efficient passing team in the country.
Wow.
That's going to be Georgia's first playoff game. They're going to have to go to Army.
Wow.
Army, the over, 51.5. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
I'm touching Georgia Tech Notre Dame. I just think without Haynes King, even if he's hobbled, and I know how you beat Notre Dame, how did Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame running the ball. I know Tech's going to try to do that. I think Notre Dame's just too much for Georgia Tech right now. I love what Brent Key's doing. Mm. I love the culture he's building, the infrastructure.
Mm.
11-0, I actually think Notre Dame covers, wins like 32-16.
Yeah. All right, I'll go to my game. If you just look at records, there's a game in the SEC this weekend that I think could be monumental. There's a 5-1 team, ranked number 14 in the country, facing off with a 1-5 team who has been an underdog in just about every matchup they've played this year. All right. And Vegas loves games like this. And you would look, you'd go, man, that spread, 5-1 versus 1-5, that's got to be like a 35-point spread or something like that. It's not. It's 17. It's 17 right now. And I'm talking about Mississippi State against Texas A&M. Vegas knows that Mississippi State plays hard. Texas A&M, they have a good record, but they've been in a couple of bare knuckle brawls along the way. I don't think Mississippi State even comes close to winning this game, but I think Mississippi State covers the 17.5 that they are getting in this game. Give me Mississippi State to lose by 10 against Texas A&M in a big home game this weekend. That's a 4:15 start. I like Mississippi State plus 17.5.
Maybe if Mike Elko shoves the quarterback of Miss State early in the game, it'll take him off there.
Oh, God. Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
People are still dwelling on that.
I know. It's funny. I heard a whole conversation about it yesterday, and I was like, I mean, there's not more storylines than this?
What did Mark Ingram say? Oh, a real alpha would have gotten back on Kirby. Yeah. Yeah, but the entire alphabet of red jerseys would have converged upon you if you.
Well, let me tell you something. It's easy for Mark Ingram to sit at a desk and say that.
Just stop.
Mike's about to kill me in the break. Mark's his boy.
That's a funny comment from somebody that sits at a desk and says things like that all the time.
That's all I know. It's easy.
This next guy coming up, shove him, see what happens to you.
I've shoved him before. I hit him outside the head, but that's a shoved him.
Yeah, mess around with Arch and find out. David Archer coming up next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 again. They're going to have chicken wire up in front of the stage tonight for this band. That's what it sounds like. I love it.
This might be my new mic'd up background. I love that song.
The Miller Lite bottles will be a slinging. Arch don't know nothing about this.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and commence packing. David Archer, good morning, number 16. How are you, sir? Do we have Arch?
Do we have Arch?
I'm here.
Oh, there we are.
You got to push the right button. Dylan's got to push the right button back there. Come on.
Hey, Arch, I got a two-prong question for you. You can handle it easily. I'm enjoying how now the NFL trade deadline is almost coming like Major League Baseball's trade deadline. High-profile names moving all over the place. How do you feel about that, and will the Falcons go out and try to get a pass rusher?
I think they're going to continue to look, Rob. I think that, you know, and I'm not saying anything you guys don't already know. I think Terry Fontenot is always scanning and trying to figure out what fits and things. There's some parameters to some of the players. I know the one particular player plays for the Jets. Can't talk about it because he's currently under their regime. I know they're still working a contract with him. But there's some things that are attached to him that make him a little bit less attractive as far as being able – not just the person, but some of the parameters around it. Now, I know that's kind of elusive and things like that. But I think they're still looking, Rob. I think they're going to try to, you know, do whatever they can to get somebody in here that fits what they do, fits who they are personality-wise, and obviously a guy can make plays in the field.
You like it, though? You like this kind of new approach in the NFL, the trades?
Well, it's interesting that I think there's a lot of teams that are running a similar style of defense and offense. And so I don't think it's quite as hard to fit guys in. Wow. Now, if you go get a quarterback or something like that, it's a little bit different. But I think if you want to fit a receiver in, like we saw the two teams went and got a couple of receivers, Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams, those are guys that I think can fit into those systems. So I think that it's a little bit easier to go find a guy. You know, baseball, it's easy. Go find a guy to play right field and hit in the third spot. There's not a lot of, you know, dynamics attached to that. But when you got a guy that's got to come in and learn an offense or a defense, that makes it difficult.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Arch, and I think you'll like this. So I was asked about the Falcons making trades, and I was like, I think I only remember two in my 5 years, and one of them was a player for player. Akeem Dent was traded for our now quarterbacks coach, T.J. Yates, from the Houston Texans. I'm like, man, that's a throwback
sexy.
pick right there. But Arch, I want to focus a little bit too. You talked about the possibility. I kind of brought up the point earlier that, you know, when you listen to Raheem talk about Arnold Ebiketie, it sounds like he's pretty comfortable with Arnold Ebiketie at that spot. And obviously Matthew Judon, you already brought him in kind of on the other side in those situations. So it sounds like Raheem likes what Arnold Ebiketie's doing right now. What have you seen from AK so far this year?
Well, I thought this last weekend, Mike, that I thought AK was very active this last weekend. He talked about, I know, with the interviews that he did with Dukes and Bell on Wednesday. When I talked to him on Monday for his coach's show, he talked about how he stole a sack from Ebiketie because he accepted a holding penalty. It was the right thing to do in that situation from a strategy standpoint, but just to indicate that Ebiketie was there and would have gotten a sack. I thought he was close to the quarterback two or three times. I thought it was his most active game of the season. So, if you're gauging it on coming on and getting better, he's getting more reps too. I think that they've been trying to settle in as to who they want to play on the edge. So I think that that's part of it as well. But I think Ebukadi is, I thought he had a good week last weekend against Carolina. And he's got an opportunity against a team this weekend in Seattle that's given up, 19 sacks on the year. This is a team that's given up some sacks, the Geno Smith. So I think that if he's a hot player, and if there is such a thing as a hot player when you only have 5 sacks, he seems to be one of those guys that seems to be coming on.
Well, don't worry, Arch. I've been told by different trade scenarios, if he doesn't come on in the next couple of weeks, we can always trade D'Angelo Malone in a 7th for Max Crosby, and it'll work out just fine for us. Look, DK Metcalf is honest. He's one of the better receivers. He's a big, physical guy. I know that he's been up and down this year and he's been complaining, but how do you play and defend a guy like DK Metcalf?
Well, you mentioned the big physicality. The thing that makes him different is his ability to run. So, you get big physical receivers, it's one thing. You can put a bigger corner on them. You can put a guy that's a little bit more of a gnat guy that kind of gets in their way and they can't seem to get off the ball and things like that. This guy's a different dude. So I think you're mixing coverage up on him, trying to confuse him, maybe try to get him a little bit irritated because he's not touching the football. He only caught 3 passes last week against the 49ers, and I thought that he looked like on tape that he was starting to get frustrated. I think that that's something that happens to him. I think that that's something that Geno Smith's continually battling on the sidelines, trying to make sure that he understands, I'm trying to get you the ball, just keep playing. So I don't think there's any perfect remedy to playing a big receiver that can run like he can. He's a talented guy. Biggest thing is don't give up the big explosive play. This is an offense that they haven't thrown he's thrown 6 touchdown passes on the year, Geno Smith. So they haven't made a lot of plays in the end zone. They made some explosive in the middle of the field, but I think just keeping them away from big plays, making him earn everything he gets, tattooing when he catches the football, those are really the only things you're going to do to him.
Talk about the evolution of Zach Robinson. After week 1, the villagers were about to run him out of town with torches as if he were Frankenstein. And just talk about that evolution.
Yeah, I think Rob, it's about him learning his personnel. I think that we knew that there was going to be a growing period. It was going to be complementary with his quarterback learning the people he's playing with. I mean, you can call plays all you want to, but there's another guy out on the field that's executing those plays, and Kirk Cousins is a guy that started to come on as well. I think those two guys are locked hand in hand, understanding rotations, when they want a certain guys in the game. The running back rotation has been fun to watch and how they've been able to exploit those two guys and go with a hot hand. Which guys are guys that are going to play in the slot? You heard Raheem talk about this week, kind of some of the plan that they didn't necessarily divulge to the public during training camp, but what they want to do with Drake London and mirroring some of the things that Zach had done and that Sean had done out in L.A. with Puka Nacua, was attacking different areas of the field with a big-bodied receiver, because Drake's got the ability to do that, moving him around, those kind of things. I think that some of that's starting to come to light, some of it's starting to become more comfortable, and he's settling into a rhythm as to what he can get to and who he can trust in certain situations. So I think that it'll continue to get better, too, I think.
Arch, when you look at the Seahawks defense on tape, why have they struggled to stop the run? They're 27th in the league, allowing right at, 145 yards a game?
Yeah, they're giving up explosive plays, Bo, is what the deal is. In their first 3 games, they gave up, I think, 14 explosive plays. That's 15 yards or more. The last 3 games, they've given up 24 plays of 15 yards or more. And some of those, there's a good number of those have been run plays. And so I think that the number – when you look at the number, it's similar to Atlanta's number. I think when you look at 145 yards, wow, you're getting bludgeoned in the run game. Well, it's not as bad as it seems, because they're giving up a play here or there that blows the number up. I thought if you looked at Atlanta's run defense last week, it was a little better than the number might have indicated, although they only gave up 120 yards on the ground. That's still a good number of yards rushing, and it allows the team to stay somewhat balanced. But if you go back and look at it, it was like in 2 drives, where Chuba Hubbard got loose for about 40 or 50 yards in 2 drives. And other than that, it wasn't a big deal. And I think that that's what's going on with Seattle. So I think the numbers are a little bit veiled. Now, tells you that they're giving up big plays. And they're giving up big plays in the passing game, too. But I think that the number is a little bit ballooned because you've only played six games and they've had a couple of games where they've given up a good chunk of yardage, and especially in explosives.
Finishing up with our buddy Dave Archer here. Dave, look, man, I think we've talked a lot about, you know, kind of splits as far as run pass, and because Seattle is so heavy, like they lead the NFL in dropback percentage. Geno Smith, I think it's averaging, you know, 46, 47, 48 dropbacks a game. But I want to talk about the Falcons in that aspect, because the last 2 weeks we've seen it done two different ways, right? Kirk Cousins, you know, 58, passes thrown a couple of weeks ago against the Bucs, and then this past weekend you run for 200 against the Panthers. What do you see that split in and up like? And I don't know if I'm, you know, hey, you know, got to be 50%, 50%, but what do you see the game plan being as far as the running game versus the pass game this weekend?
Well, certainly you're going to probe these guys against the run. As Bo just talked about, they've given up some explosives, and I think you'll continue to get after them. You got to figure, and you know as well as I do, Mike, what they're doing defensively. Mike McDonald's looking at that run defense, and they're putting on the tape of what Atlanta did to Carolina. Say, wait a minute, we got to gang up against the run. We're going to stop the run. We're going to be better against the run game. So I think Zach will probe that. I think that the thing that you like, and I know you know this, you like the fact that you could ebb to one or the other, and you could be really good in either one. And I think that makes you difficult to prepare for. This is, you got 3 days to get ready to play, as you know, and to try to prepare for everything Atlanta's doing from a receiver quarterback standpoint, throwing the football, to now all of a sudden you got to, you know, do the physicality thing, get guys in the box and try to defend the run. That makes it tough to get ready for. So I don't think there is a magic balance. And it was 38 runs, I think 30 passes last weekend. And then it wasn't even more close to that Thursday night game you're talking about. So I love the fact that we can do that. I think that makes you difficult to defend. But I don't think there is balance to me is when you're moving the ball. You know, what moves the football? That's the balance, and it's not run to pass.
All right, Arch, I got to ask you about your Cyclones. A good buddy of mine went to Iowa State as well, and y'all have such an interesting helmet history. Go back and look at the history of Iowa State helmets. You got UCF tomorrow. You know, you've got to deal with Utah on the road, I believe, also. What do you think going forward about your Cyclones?
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to get boring with you here. They got to make sure they take care of UCF. They had a tough time stopping West Virginia's run game early on, and it's quarterback run that bothers them more than anything else. We talked about this before. Now, KJ Jefferson got sat down last week. I assume that he's ready to go. But UCF's averaging about 280 yards on the ground. Iowa State's giving up about 140, which is not anywhere near the top of the conference. But the quarterback run game has hurt them, and it's allowed teams to stay on the field. So I expect them to win this football game. I think they're a 15-point favorite in the game. I don't ever like to see that number. I like to see it a little bit closer because I think it is. But I think they're playing at a high level. They're doing a lot of good things on offense. They got two receivers that go make plays, and the young quarterback keeps improving. So if they can keep playing that good defense, solid bend, no break defense, then I like their chances in the conference.
All right, 4:30 on Sunday, Falcons will be 5-2, brother. Let's go out and get a win.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Arch.
Let's do it. Rise up, baby.
All right, there we go. Dave Archer.
You heard the man.
Yeah, look up the history of Iowa State helmets, man. It's pretty cool, actually.
Interesting.
What you got coming up, Squid?
Going to go through the NFL a little bit. Is there a quarterback change that's about to happen in Pittsburgh, and how is one of the quarterbacks handling it?
D'Angelo Malone is untouchable, by the way.
Can't
untouchable.
Have him.
No.
Can't have him.
How dare you?
You wouldn't trade him in a seventh for Max Crosby?
No.
All right. All next on the morning
show. Somebody
didn't
really say that, did they? Online. Jeez.
No, it was pretty close.
Close.
Pretty
close. The absurdity
close.
Of those stupid scenarios to get somebody like Crosby.
Pretty close.
It ain't going to happen. All right.
Next of the morning shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I was not an all-conference baseball player at Division II West Georgia.
But you were a college baseball player, and you're all-conference in our hearts.
An all-American human being.
Oh,
you're all 929 The Game. Did you know that?
That's the skinniest kid at fat camp.
First team.
Type of.
Well, you know what? It could be worse. You could be all something somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and nobody would hear you. Anyways, don't forget, November 25th, the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefits Pets for Vets. Sign up today. The spots are quickly going away. There's not as many as you would think left. So go ahead and get your spot today.
It's a great charity.
It is. I love it. I absolutely love the thought of it because I love pets. and I love our vets, and you combine the two, I mean, that's the greatest thing in the world. Go to the 1990 Gang website, go to the events page, and
reaction of vets when they get that pet. It's like worth 20 grand in therapy.
Well, and just and it's therapy. It never goes away. I mean, yep. you get the pet that you want. You can they'll train these pets for you. It's an amazing charity. Sounds like Justin Fields' days as a starter could be limited. In fact, it could be over starting Sunday. I mean, Russell Wilson has taken a lot of the first team reps. Justin Fields was asked about it, and honestly, I don't think he could have gave a better answer.
I don't think I played, you know, good enough. If I'm being real with you, if I'm being real with myself, I think if you know I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing, who should not. We got a few wins, of course. I'm glad about that, but you know, there's areas that you know I could be better at.
Wow.
The honesty, the self-reflection, whatever you want to say about what he did and didn't do as a starter.
Yeah.
The one thing I know he did was, for the most part, he protected the football.
Yep.
And he had some fumbles, but as far as interceptions, though, I think he had one. I think he only had five touchdown passes.
What
only,
I liked about
but
that,
still,
what I liked about that soundbite, he wasn't just doing the politically expedient thing and saying all the right things. There was sincerity in that tone.
If I'm being real with you,
yeah.
If I'm the Oakland, not Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders, I'm on the phone right now trying to get him. Back and forth.
They're not giving him up.
O'Connell.
They're not giving him up.
If think of what they could get though, they could get some capital. I would be trying to. If number of teams actually, but the Raiders. More than anything, I'd be trying to get him.
I do think he was helped with the system and in the run game, but I think it shows that what I saw from him this year, which I haven't, and you didn't see, it wasn't 100%, but I thought he was able to play within the system, and I'm not sure if he did that a good job of that in Chicago, but I thought he did here. Now you still got whatever's going on, you know, George Pickens and his unhappiness and. I don't think anyone can make George Pickens happy. I think that's a him.
He's only happy when he's unhappy.
Well, I think sometimes you got to do some self-reflection in the mirror, and I'm not sure George Pickens has ever done that. I can tell you that Justin Fields did that in that soundbite, and I appreciate that. That's maturity, and that's what leaders do. Real quick, speaking of guys who could be on the move but won't be on the move, who knows, maybe D'Angelo Malone in the seventh, because I can tell you what.
No, he's untouchable.
He's not. Max Crosby is not. It doesn't want to go through what it sounds like Vegas is about to go through.
I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means. But, yeah, I'm here to win now. And wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's all that matters to me.
How long do you think the leash is on Antonio Pierce?
I think it depends on how sloppy this season gets. Because if he loses the locker room, let me ask you a question. If he loses a locker room, you're going to change quarterbacks next year probably no matter what. Why keep him?
Well, and that's my thing. That's why I would be on the phone trying to get Justin Fields as part of my team.
It just seems like the only thing that makes sense about the Raiders, in fact, they don't make any sense under Mark Davis.
Well, Tom Brady's there. I just paper cut myself.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's there now, so maybe he's going to have
Seymour.
A say.
Don't forget Richard Seymour. He's there too. So.
Do you like Richard Seymour? Did you ever play against him?
At watching him, yeah.
He's a beast.
Oh, we played Evelyn. I'll never forget him trash-talking Matt Bryant before a game-winning field goal one time. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Matt Bryant's answer after he hit the field goal was hilarious, too. I can't put it in the microphone, but it was pretty
funny.
Can
you clean it up?
It was a shut-your-mouth kind of comment, yeah. There's your cleanup.
And then
hey, man, ain't no way you're going to hit this field goal. And it was obviously expletive laden as well. Then Matt Bryant drills it from like 50 something out and basically told him to shut up. So it was good.
And then he kind of walked oddly off the field.
Probably gave it the old fist pump, you know. The old,
yeah. Argh. Matt Bryant.
That little short arm fist pump.
Didn't you?
Dude.
Where his elbow's attached to his side.
Good dude, clutch player. Different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the which is the way he walked. Because he'd walk out there and you're like, there's no way this guy's athletic enough to kick a 55 yard game winner. And then boom, right through the uprights.
Kind of walked like a stormtrooper with hemorrhoids. All right. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get to packing.
I'm sorry, what?
Steakhouse coming up top of the hour.
Got a lot of better aim than a stormtrooper.